And I'll tell you why. Some people contend, and they're usually very contentious in contending, that in these verses, Paul is writing about himself before he was saved, that these are not the words of a saved man, a man who knows God, that these are the words of a man before he met Christ. This is an unsaved man talking here. That's what they say very strongly, that he's an unsaved man. And when he wrote Romans 8, he moved out of this unsaved state into a state of salvation and wrote Romans 8. Others say, and this is what I believe, I'm just sure of it, that Paul is writing here about his own inner feelings and inner conflicts and troubles at the very time he wrote the epistle. These were the conflicts and struggles and feelings going on within him while he was writing the inspired word of God. That's what I believe. In other words, these are the daily experiences of a redeemed person. Now, there are two extremes. I heard them both this past week. I heard a man preaching, and he was indicating by his preaching that if you believed on Christ, it didn't matter how you lived. If you believed the gospel and made a profession of faith, that it didn't matter what kind of life you lived outwardly, you were saved. You were a child of God. Well, it does matter. It does matter a great deal. But then I was listening to a preacher this morning. Now, I want you to hear this. I wrote this statement down after he made it. And he was... Now, that's all wrong. When a fellow stands up and said, it doesn't matter how you live, you can drink and gamble and cheat and steal and lie and commit adultery and divorce your wife and do all, and it doesn't matter how you live, you're saved if you believe on Jesus. That's not so. God's people are honest people. They're people with clean lives and they're trustworthy and people of integrity. They're not drunkards. They're just not that way. But here's the other extreme. This man was preaching this morning and he's of the holiness persuasion. He's a Methodist preacher. And he was exhorting God's people to holiness and to obedience. And I exhort God's people to holiness and obedience, but let's not get ridiculous. And that's what this is. This is ridiculous. Now he says God's people will walk the straight and narrow. They'll live a holy life. Now, he said, I'm not saying that you are going to be perfect. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. No, you won't be perfect. You will make mistakes. I don't know why they just can't call it sin. Wait, I'm not through. He said, you'll make mistakes. And down the road somewhere, you may inadvertently sin. You won't be perfect. You'll make mistakes. And down the road somewhere, you may inadvertently sin. You may. Well, I'm here to tell you there ain't no doubt about it. And I don't mean down the road very far either. You won't lose weight walking that road. But let me read these last verses again, and you can see why that people have trouble with this. It takes a revelation of the Holy Spirit to enter into any of God's Word and to rightly divide the Word of truth. The Spirit of God must reveal to us what He's saying. We're extremists, and if we're not careful, we'll take it the wrong way. But we want it to glorify God in its context. Now let's read the last 11 verses again, see what they say. Verse 14, Romans 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. I am carnal. He didn't say I was, he said I am. I'm sold under sin. I'm a slave, sold under sin. Now, one thing that most people overlook when they're teaching this part of Romans, they overlook, and I really believe this, they overlook in teaching and preaching these verses the apostle's great objective. He has the whole book of Romans. Paul has a great objective and purpose. And in this chapter, it's the same purpose. He's trying to say to these people, the law can never justify a lost man, and the law can never sanctify a saved man. Did you hear that? He's saying it loud and clear. The law of Moses, the Levitical law, the moral law, the ceremonial law, no law can justify a lost man. And no law can sanctify a saved man. The law cannot make a bad man good, and it can't make a good man better. It can't do it. Or given for that purpose. The law shows no mercy. The law holds out no hope. Tell me, he said to the Galatians, you that would be under the law, don't you hear it? It holds out no hope. It offers no mercy. The law says, do this and live. Do it in perfection. The law wasn't given for us to admire or to agree with, but to perform perfectly. And it cannot justify a lost man, and it cannot sanctify a saved man. It offers no hope to the lost, it offers no help to the redeemed. And back here in these first 13 verses, Paul tells us his past experience with the law. You hear what he said? He says, I was alive and the law came and killed me. The law killed me. The law deceived me. The law slew me. That's what the law did to me while he was in the flesh. Now, back before he met Christ, he knew the law. He knew he was under obligation to keep the law, and he thought he did. You remember? He said, I was blameless. He thought he did. Paul knew the law. He knew he had an obligation to keep it, and he thought he did. But when the law really came to him, in true understanding, in his true spirituality, in his true authority, instead of making him holy, it killed him. That's all the law can do. It'll kill you. It'll slay you. It'll destroy you. That's what the law will do if you really see it. Look back up at verse 13. I just read you verse 14. We know the law is spiritual, but I'm caught. Look at verse 13. Was then that which is good? The law is good, is it not? God's law is good. Oh, it's good. Everything about his law is good. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's good. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. That's good. The law of God's good. Was that which is good made death to me? Did it, just because it's good, kill me? No, but sin. That it might appear to be sin. That's what worked death in me. The sting of death is sin. That's what killed me, my sins. But I saw my sin in the light of his law. That sin, watch this. Sin by the commandment might be
might appear what it really is, exceeding sinful.
This is the reason that most people don't really understand sin at all. Because they compare themselves with themselves. They look at everything in the light of how it affects us, human beings, aren't they? The only way to really understand the sinfulness of sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, or even what sin is to examine it in the light of God's holiness, in the light of God's perfection. And then when I see sin, you see, Saul of Tarsus, back in religion, he thought, well, he was keeping the law. But he was interpreting the law in the light of his own understanding. But when he interpreted the law in the light of God's holiness, he saw that he was the greatest lawbreaker of all. So that's what he's saying in the first 11 verses. He said, when I was an unregenerate religion, I found that the law could tell me what was right and wrong. The law could command me to do right and avoid wrong. The law could threaten me, condemn me, curse me if I didn't comply. But the law could not eradicate my sinful nature. It only stirred it up more. The law could not eradicate my sinful principles or help me to do right. The law even stimulated my evil nature. Couldn't justify me. And in these last 11 verses, Paul is showing his present experiences with the law. And this is what he's saying. Now look at it. Now I'm regenerated. Now I'm regenerated. And this I know. Number one, the law is spiritual. What does that mean? Well, it comes from the Spirit of God. It reaches to the spirit and thoughts of man. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It requires holiness, not just outwardly. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about when he interpreted the law. He said, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. I say unto you to hate in your hearts to be guilty already of murder. You've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, to look with lust or intent is to be guilty already. You've heard it said by them of old times, thou shalt not swear by the temple or the altar or all these things. I say unto you, swear not at all. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay. Anything other than that, sin. Well, this is what he's saying. The law is spiritual. The law comes from the Spirit of God, reaches to the spirit and thoughts of men. It requires holiness, not just in the outward parts, but in the inward parts. It requires spiritual obedience, spiritual service, and spiritual love for God. That's what the law is. And what am I? I'm carnal. I'm carnal. I'm natural. I'm flesh. I'm sold under sin. Like a servant to a master, I am a servant to my nature. And my nature is the opposite of spiritual things. It's fleshly nature. All right, let's look at the next verse. So therefore, watch verse 15. That which I do, I allow not. What does the word allow mean? The word allow means approve. That which I do, I don't approve of it. I don't approve of it. For what I would, that do I not. And what I hate, that do I. I do things I don't approve of. I think things. Now this is what we're talking about in the spiritual realm. I think things that I don't approve of. I say things I don't approve of. I do things I don't approve of. The believer actually hates sin, especially in himself. Paul is saying here in verse 15, that which I do, I not only don't approve of it, I don't justify it either. I don't justify it. I don't excuse it. I don't try to offer a reason for it. I'm wrong. You see what I'm saying? I'm wrong. I disapprove of what I think. I disapprove of many things that I do. I disapprove of many things that I say. I actually hate what I do. I hate what I do. I do what I hate. Oh, well, look at verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, which I don't approve of, that which, if I do that which I hate, I consent to the law that it's good. You see, that's a good evidence. That's a good evidence that I know God. That's a good evidence that I know. A good evidence I don't know God is when I justify my sin and excuse my sin and approve of my sin. But when I take sides against myself with God, like David in Psalm 51, and I say, Lord, you're just when you condemn me. You're right when you judge me. My sins are ever before me. I hate my iniquity. I consent to the law that it's good. Do you see that? Now, the law of God is holy and good and spiritual. It comes from the Spirit of God through the Spirit of man. And it requires not only outward perfection and outward obedience and outward holiness, it requires a perfect holiness of mind and attitude and love and spirit and truth and honesty and holiness and integrity. But I'm carnal. I'm a slave of a fleshly nature. And therefore I do things that I don't approve of. I say things I don't approve of. I think things I don't approve of. And those things that I do, I actually hate. I despise them. And so therefore, if I hate that which I do, and I do that which I would not, then I consent to the law. And it's good. It's good. Now here's his problem. Here's his problem. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about this. He's not putting the blame somewhere else. That's not what he's doing at all. He is accounting for the presence of sin in a true believer by saying this, and I know a lot of folks, especially the people of holiness inclination, do not believe this, but a believer actually is two people. Did you know that? That's right. Well, if folks like it or not, it's true. That's what he's saying. In verse 17, it is no more I that do it. It's sin that dwelleth in me. I didn't do it. Sin did it. There's two I's. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 26 and see if our Lord's not teaching that over here. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Now, while you're looking that up, Matthew 26, 41, I do know this. That when Nicodemus came to the Master, the Lord Jesus said to him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, we were born the first time of our parents and we're flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So a person that is born of natural parents has a fleshly, carnal, human nature. A person born of God still has that carnal human nature. It's not eradicated. It's still with us. But he also has a new nature, a spiritual nature. I'm telling you this, and that flesh is natural, that spirit is spiritual. And that fleshly old man is corrupt, and that new man is holy. And that old man can do nothing right. He doesn't get any better. And that new man can do nothing wrong. And that old man, that old nature, still loves and delights in sin. And that new nature
despises it. That's just so.
You say you oversimplify. Well, we're simple, aren't we? I've got to say it like it is. Now listen to the Lord in Matthew 26, verse 41. Here's talking to his disciples. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is that not true? The spirit indeed is willing. Very willing. The flesh is very weak. They wanted to pray, but they couldn't stay awake. They wanted to watch with him, but the whole flesh was too weak. Look at Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. See if that's not what this is saying. In Galatians 5:17, the flesh, for the flesh. In verse 16, he said, walk in the flesh and you'll not fulfill the, walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, the more you, if we'll cultivate this spiritual interest, think on things that are holy, think on things that are pure, think on things that are righteous, think on things that are good. Don't think on things that are bad. Read good material. Don't read bad material. If you read bad material and think in that vein, you're going to have problems. It's going to have greater problems. Walk with believers. Walk with believers. Walk with people who talk about Christ. If you walk with the world and you, that old nature gets fed and encouraged and excited, and you're going to have problems. You see, walk in the Spirit. Cultivate spiritual interest. Think on things spiritual. Feed the new nature. Feed the new man. Encourage the new man. Stay away from these things and these people that pull you down and excite your flesh and bother your flesh and cause you to do things you shouldn't do. Don't go to those places. And don't hang around with that kind of people. Stay away from them. That's what he's saying here. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh always lusts against the Spirit. There's always a battle going on, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. You cannot do the things that you would. Isn't that? That's what he's saying. So in verse 17, when he says, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, verse 18, Romans chapter 7, I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. The flesh is a drag on me and holds me back. Now, and I wish I could encourage you to think along this particular line right here. The more you walk in the Spirit, the more you read God's Word, the more you pray, the more you think about spiritual things, the more you walk in that vein. I mean, the conflict won't be as difficult. It'll always be there. It's always there, but it won't be as difficult. But now if you persist on walking this other way, if you persist on being around people that and things and material and all this sort of thing, that appeals to that old nature, you're going to keep it always stirred up. It'll stir up enough as it is, but it's going to be stirred up more. And though this is what he's saying here in verse 17 and 18, we have two natures. And when this sin thing, when I think and say, it's not my nature that loves Christ, it's not that man that adores Christ, it's that old, please forgive me, it's that old flesh. It's not I. That's not what I want. That's not what I desire. That's not my objective. That's not the life I want to live. That's not the way I want to talk. That's not the way I want to act. That's not the way I want to be. I want to be holy, don't you? I want to be righteous. I want to be truthful. I want to be pure. I want to be like Christ. So when I'm not, it's not me, it's my nature. Is that what he's saying, Jim? That's exactly what it says. Not me. It's not me. Verse 19, watch this now. And he repeats verse 16, 17. Notice, you know, I didn't notice that till I studied this yesterday. He repeats it again. You know, Paul feels pretty strongly about some of these things over there in Galatians when he said, there's just one gospel. And if a fellow comes preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed. Now, he said, I'll say that again. Didn't he? I'll say that again. If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Well, he says this again. Look at verse 16 and 17. Read it again. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it's good. Now, it's no more I that do it, it's sin that dwelleth in me. Now, look back down here at verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, it's sin that dwelleth in me. There's the two natures. He insists on it. He repeats it. He declares it again and again. Again and again. Nothing can express, I read this by Mr. Spurgeon, nothing can express more fully that dreary struggle that must go on and on in every believer. Experience convinces us that while our human resolutions are good, they're also very weak. And sin is married to morality. Sin is married to immorality. And the past makes us tremble for the future and assures us that tribulation, temptation, and trouble will return again and again and again, so that our days on earth shall be spent in a warfare that it will never end till we're taken to be with Christ. All right, let me wind it up. Now verse 21. I find then a law, a principle, a truth, that when I would do good, that is, when I would be perfect, when I would be perfect, when I would do good, evil is always present with me. For I delight in the law of God. I delight in God's law. That's not an unsaved man talking. That's a saved man talking. I really delight in God's law. I love God's law. Don't you? After the inward man. Spiritual man. But I see another law. I see another principle. I see it there. I see it more and more all the time. It really doesn't get any weaker either. I see it there all the time. It must be dealt with all the time. I see another law in my members. And that principle and that law of sin, that flesh, is always warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched. He wasn't a wretched man in Christ. He was a righteous man in Christ. He wasn't a wretched man in Christ. He was a happy man. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. He wasn't a wretched man in Christ. He was a man free from wrath and free from condemnation and a man of peace and rest and pleasure. But this misery and this wretchedness was because of that continual combat between his flesh and his spirit, and because of the body of sin which he carried about with him all the time. And then he says, who's going to deliver me? Who's going to free me? Who's going to set me free from the body of this death? Well, I can't do it. And the law can't do it. And resolutions can't do it. You make resolutions? There's only one who can do it. I thank God. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, I shall be delivered. Already I've been delivered from condemnation. Already I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Already I've been delivered from the consequences and the curse of sin. But I thank God one of these days I'm going to be delivered from the very motions of sin, from the very passions of sin, from the very practice of sin, from the very presence of sin. And we're going to be perfect. So then, this is the way it is, and the way it's going to continue. So then, with this man, with the mind of Christ, let the mind of Christ be in you. With the mind of Christ, with the new nature, I serve the law of God. And serve it faithfully. And delight in it. With that old flesh, the law of sin. I know that's so difficult for some people to enter into, but and it's not an excuse for sin. It doesn't justify sin because believers are not looking for that. But nevertheless, it is true. And it gives comfort to the people of God. The carnal nature, the fleshly nature is natural. It'll never be anything else but natural. It'll never be improved upon. And the spiritual nature is spiritual. It's born of God. The old man is corrupt. The new man is holy. The old man can do nothing right. The new man can do nothing wrong. The old nature can do nothing but sin, and the new nature can do nothing but love God. What can we do? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Word. Walk in the fellowship of believers. Daily be identified with the things of God and mortify the old nature. Put him down. Suppress him. Crucify him. Put him under. You say, well, I still have trouble. Tomorrow will be the same battle. Same thing. Next week will be the same thing. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, even the evil that dwells within us. O wretched man that I am, is there no hope? Oh, yeah, there's hope. Who shall deliver me? Not myself, not the law. Christ will. Christ will. All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn.